Well, I hope everybody has had a chance to get a quick break in, and we don't want to keep you late tonight at all, because I want you all back tomorrow night for our big volunteer bash. So two nights in a week partying. But you know, if you go ahead and get comfortable, you need to join, turn your chair around, or otherwise we're gonna have to put some chiropractors on you after, with the kink in your neck trying to go like this. And so yeah, go ahead and get comfortable. And well, I want to just say thank you, first of all, that you came tonight. It's just great to have you here. And you know, when you take a look at the people who make what's going on at Springs possible, there's so many unique groups of wonderful people, you know, just laboring in the trenches, leading, and this entire area of resourcing Springs Church. So many of you volunteer somewhere with other skills, but you've faithfully given and financed what's going on. And that probably is one of the hardest areas for so many churches to deal with. So many churches struggle, truthfully, horribly in the area of finance. I still know of churches doing bake sales, trying to pay the power bills, and you know. And if we're going to really reach this world for Jesus Christ, then we have to have an ability to finance the most important thing that's taking place on the planet. You know, we look at some of the world events that are going on, and I want great world leaders to intervene. But there is no hope without Christ for real change. And when you look at Springs Church and just this church's ability to touch people, this church's ability to help people be introduced to Jesus in a spirit contemporary way, it's remarkable. I had a businessman tell me the other day, and very successful, just loves Springs because it's done so much for him, and he now has to work in other cities, and so he misses a lot of Sundays. And he was telling me, he said, I'm going to just tell you right now. He said, everybody gets really familiar with how amazing this church is. And he says, until you go away and you try to find something like that to help you out and to get you through. And then you just kind of go, oh my. And I feel the same way. I travel around the world teaching at churches and conferences. And I just can't wait to get home to the band of brothers and sisters. I just go, okay, because there's just something beautiful and unique that's going on. And so thank you so much. There is no way that we would see, you know, this kind and this level of excitement and passion and success advancing God's kingdom if it wasn't for the fact that one of the hardest areas for so many people to get renewed their mind in is the area of money. And it's so cool to see what God is doing. I was talking to another man the other day, and he told me this story that he brought a businessman with him. Now, this guy worked at an all-Christian company, very successful, very huge, and he oversighted one whole division. But he was the only guy who hadn't given his life to Christ. And so a guy that attends Springs brings him out to a Spring service. This just took place just a little while ago. And the guy comes to church. He looks at Springs Church from the parking lots to the services. He gives his life to Christ, just unashamed, unapologetically, yes, and goes to work the next day. And this is the story they told me. He was waiting for his team to all get in for a team meeting, and he was waiting for them, and he had his computer sitting there. And he said, well, I have an announcement to make. He said, on the weekend, I went to a church called Springs Church, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And the place was just kind of like, okay. And then he spins his computer around to show them the website and how cool this church is, and he's showing these guys. Then he says, now I just have one question. And in front of the whole team that he oversights, they're all Christians. And he says to the one guy that apparently, I don't know why he picked one guy out that was the most, you know, most advanced or whoever he was, and he said, how come you never invited me to your church? And it was kind of quiet. And the guy looks at him and he says, truthfully, he says, I didn't want to turn you off to Christ by bringing you to my church. And they told me this story, and I thought, thank you, Jesus, that it's a huge issue with us to be spiritually alive, love Jesus, but to be contemporary and relevant and able to respect and honor everyone that comes in, regardless of their belief systems or their histories. You know, church is still pretty crazy out there. I don't know if you know it, but I was talking to a mom who's got three kids. Her husband divorced her, and then the church asked her to leave because she was a divorcee. I mean, I thought that was like decades ago those kinds of things happened. And here she is when she needs help as never before in her life to be surrounded by loving, caring people to help her raise these kids without a dad and all the rest that goes on and gone. Or another story I just heard about a 15-year-old that got pregnant. The church asked her to get on the stage and apologize to the entire church. You kind of go, really? This still goes on? But religion sucks. Religion is a man-made rules. People think they're doing well, but they're not helping at all. I had a lady come to our church about 11 months ago. And so I'm standing there, and this woman walks over with an older son. He's a man already, and they're kind of hanging out. And she says, can I just talk to you for a minute? And I said, yes. And he was kind of hanging back with his head down a little bit, just looking like embarrassed. And she goes, I can't handle this again, but we've been to your church now a couple times, and we love it, and we want to keep coming back, but I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you up front. I go, okay. She goes, our last church, they asked us to leave because my son is HIV positive. I said, that's the only reason? And she goes, yeah. So I turned around. There's her son standing right there. Walked over to him, gave him a great big hug, picked him up off his feet a little bit, shook him around and said, welcome to Springs Church. We're so glad that you're here, and I hope you come every Sunday. You know, this being like Jesus and loving people is crucial. The ability to laugh with people, to love people, to accept people, to forgive people, regardless of what's gone down in their life, is something that Jesus taught us to do. I was looking at some stats a little while ago across Canada, and it's very similar across the states. You know that well over 90% of the churches don't even have one person make a decision for Christ in 12 months. It was like a really high stat. So I lowered it because I thought, wow, that's crazy. But this, they were saying like 98%. I thought it can't be that bad. So I'm going to just say over 90. But in looking at churches and who's added, and it was giving your life to Christ doesn't seem to be that important. And I was talking to a funeral director, and he was telling me how that he was doing this funeral, and he was in the lead car, and the pastor doing the funeral is with him. So the hearse is behind them, and they're on their way to the cemetery. And so they're just chatting and talking, and the pastor that's sitting there, and this funeral director goes to our church, so the pastor looks over at him and says, hey, you want to hear a really funny story? And he goes, yeah, sure. He says, the night he died, I was called to his bedside, the guy in the hearse. And he says, you know what he asked me? He asked me if I could guarantee him heaven. Can you imagine? As if I can guarantee him heaven. So he asked him, so what'd you tell him? Oh, I told him I couldn't. He'll just have to wait and see. You know, he probably said it nicer than that. I hope he did. And I just thought to myself, I thought, any 5-year-old in our church could answer that question and go, give your life to Jesus, invite him into your heart, and heaven's a guarantee. And anyway, I love Springs. I might be the pastor, but I love Springs. I love the people. I love what's going on. I love what God is doing in our lives. And I want you to know that, you know, everything that you're doing, from your giving to your volunteering, you're not going to see everything that goes on. You won't see all the miracles that are taking place. You're probably going to meet them, but I met two people from Africa 2 Sundays ago in our church, and they were telling me how that they were watching church online, And as they watched church online and heard the message of Spirit Contemporary in a Spirit Contemporary way and laugh and what God was doing, they looked at each other and said, this is the kind of church we want to get involved with. And believe it or not, in the next couple of months, and Eden is the one that had met these two because she heads up online church with all the people. Maybe you're involved in online church where one person is live on the chat room for every time we do an online church service, which I believe is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, multiple times. So the second that goes out, that message is worship and praise. It's pre-done with worship and praise and a message. And then this service starts at a specific time. And then along the right, you can chat and talk, get prayer, get help, anywhere in the world. So guess where they moved to? I just met them 2 weeks ago. Winnipeg. Why? Because they get to come to church at a place that they've been looking for. It's stunning what God is doing. You know, I think that the years that are ahead for us are only going to be better if we can just maintain this sense of, I'm going to call it innocence. This just, you know, kids when they see things for the first time, Sloan, you know, this is, she's going to be turning two, so she saw snow when she was like a few months old, but now that she's really seeing it, it's just watch their eyes just open up. And we put up the Christmas tree the other day, so to watch her, just the lights and hanging her own little bulbs, and she's just the wonder and the awe that's in her. We have to hang on to that. Because if you don't hang on to that for the things of God and what He's doing and looking around and seeing the amount of people that are being impacted by Springs Church, then we start almost just taking it for granted and we become familiar. And you know, when you become familiar with something, you start looking at all the problems. It's like when you get married. You get married, you're so in love, you are like over the moon and all the things you love about them. And then about second year in, you start discovering the things you don't like. And then for the next 60 years, you get really good at finding them. No, I'm being facetious. But if you don't go back to the awe and the wonder of, hey, anyone else could still have that person. They gave themselves to me. She chose me, or he chose you. And this awe, this wonder is, I believe, what keeps people attracted to the church, because regardless how long you've been coming, you come and you love from the parking lot to the hallways to the wherever you are, you'll find that people are happy and excited to be at church. You know, the stats tell us that people make a decision about church 8 minutes from driving on the parking lot. 8 minutes. Well, I'm glad you love me and you like my messages, but nobody sees me in 8 minutes. Nobody hears me. No one shakes my hand. The parking lot guys get them first. Then the greeters at the door get them second. Then the ushers putting them in seats, or the kids ministry in the rooms, or the coffee shops get them next. They don't see me for 45 minutes from when they drive up. That means that the culture that we have is so special. And I like the fact that we remove the cringe factor and that any way we can, we're not going to make everybody happy, but we do what we feel God's called us to do. And so many people come in. And I want you just to hear stories. I want you to know what God is doing so that you can recognize and realize the power of this, that we're not giving and volunteering and just because it's work, but at the same time, it's something beautiful and precious that's taking place, not just here, but even all around the world. Church online, I was just thinking about that as I was standing at the back watching you all have a good time and visiting, and I thought probably one of the smartest things we've done in a long time is church online. Now, if you haven't checked it out, I'm going to encourage you to at least once go to springschurch.com and click on one of the live services. And there'll be a live person that is there texting and guiding you, because everyone here knows somebody somewhere around the planet who keeps telling you, well, we don't have a church like that. And so a few days ago, a guy told me that. He says, okay, when are you coming to this? I've had 6 people in the last week say, when are you coming to our city with a Springs Church? And I said, well, I don't know, but you can go to the services right there. What do you mean? I say, well, everybody at Springs Church gets teaching on the big screen. Everybody. I said, so you can too. I said, if you go to Springs Church Online and there's not a church that is Spirit Contemporary or is life-giving, or you're in like small towns, there's thousands of churches without pastors. The grand chiefs are telling me of no churches in so many reserves. And so we did Springs Online because anywhere on the planet, an English-speaking person can join one of the services, the countdown counts down, bam, 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 in comes the praise and worship, and it goes through a number of songs. Then here comes the message, and they get a chance to hear the message. If they want prayer, they can click on the prayer button. If they want help, when they give their lives to Christ, they click on another button. And then all of the things that are taught in the brown gift bag are there available for them to go online and learn and grow in this life with Christ. It's one of the sharpest things we've ever done. And anywhere you go, if you know somebody, so I told this guy, I said, well, why don't you do it online? He goes, I know about it. I just never thought about it. I said, well, then why don't you go a step further? I said, you own a whole company and you've got training rooms. Why don't you go ahead and use the training room, invite 2, 3, 4 couples that you know looking for a good church too, and just have a Springs home group? And he says, that'd be awesome. I said, join the 10 or the 11:30, go in there and tell you, we'll meet at my place. You can do it in the house if you got a big screen TV, or put a projection unit on, blow it against the wall. You'd have almost as big a screen as we do at church. And then just enjoy. Anything you need, you can call in. But it gives us hope from the smallest town to that shut-in grandma or grandma who right now, I was on my way to Selkirk today, and I was lined up all the way back from Chief Peguis Road over onto number 9 highway, and finally I managed to look around and hear an elderly man with a walker on wheels couldn't get over the snowplow ridge, and he'd fallen on his face and he had stuff everywhere, and so a woman had just got out of her car right there, left it in the road, which I think she thought maybe he was dead, and was looking after him. So there was not one honk, there was not one finger, everybody's watching, and there was probably about 13, 14 of us couldn't get on the road because we were waiting for her, and she picked him up and helped him with his groceries and put him back in the thing. And you know, it's scary for a lot of our seniors to get out in the cold and the ice, and tons of them tell me, whatever city I go to, that they'll even get their friends together in the commons room and put it on Springs Church and watch it. So the Springs Online thing, if you've got friends anywhere, just encourage them, start watching it, go to our website and join one of the online services. And you know, English, people say, well, Ian, there's so many people around the world that don't speak English. Actually, in every major city that I've gone to, English is the language of business that they're all trying to learn. And so whether I'm in Bogota or, you know, they all want to learn English. That's a good word. They all want to learn English. I want to just share with you that everything that you're laboring and praying and giving for is having an impact here in Winnipeg, in Steinbach, in Selkirk, in our inner city, in Calgary. And God's doing really beautiful, unique things. And it's like I was sharing it one Sunday that it's around the world. You know, we keep trying to get into every city across Canada, which we're still working on and doing. And all of a sudden, God kind of laughs at our vision, pushes the button and puts us around the world in 8 languages before we even get across Canada. You know, God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I was in a cab, and the gentleman was obviously a Muslim, and he's talking with me, and I said, where are you from? He said, oh, I'm from Pakistan. I said, awesome, I'm on TV in Pakistan. No. I said, I am. Well, why would you be in English? I'm in Urdu. You speak Urdu? I said, no, but that... through the modern technology, every time my mouth moves, out comes Urdu. And I told him, you could even watch it here. And it was in Vancouver, here in Vancouver. He says, how do I do that? I said, you just go to Springs or to miraclechannel.ca. You go over to the website or to the pages in Urdu, and you can go ahead and watch it. You know, modern technology has given us an ability to bring Jesus. It's just that it costs money. That's all it is. It's just money. And someone said, I was talking the other day to somebody who wanted to write a check for $50,000 because they wanted a certain country that they wanted Springs on. And I said, I know it's a lot of money. And he goes, a lot of money? This is nothing when you think you're going to touch an entire country in one language. And I said, actually, you're right. Because for me to put a couple on the mission field would be more than $50,000 a year. I'd have to house them, feed them, train them. Then when we get them there, we'd have to be able to move them around through the countryside, encouraging churches, starting churches. And the ones that we've done as of 20 years ago, they might get a church of 100, because even in Canada, 85% of our churches are under 100. So in their lifetime, they might be at 100. But for $50,000, we can blanket the whole country. They gave me an email the other day from Lahore, Pakistan. And in it was 43 recorded decisions for Jesus Christ in Lahore, Pakistan, in one email. It's just stunning what being a part of this church is. And I want it to be generational. I want our kids to be better, go further. And they already, have you ever noticed how easy it is for them to get on stage? Every one of those 18-year-olds, or when it's Christmas time now, when the classes get up, almost none of them are afraid to be on stage. They're six and they're owning the stage. They're looking around and, hey, and you think they are going to have no problem being leaders and the things that they're going to do for the things of God. One of the things I wanted to introduce to you tonight was kingdom builders. And it's not for everyone, okay? So there's going to be people here that it's not for you, but we wanted to thank you anyway and just get you out to a night of getting together and partying. But before we go to dessert, I wanted to just have my explanation for kingdom builders, because kingdom builders is kind of this secretive group in the church that's never announced from the pulpit. And you just don't know what's going on, what wise pastor meeting with them. So let me explain it my way, okay? You've had your friends explain it to you their way, and let me explain to you what happened. You know, a number of years ago, Sal and I got to talking, and we had so many opportunities, but we couldn't, and every time we couldn't, it was just money. We had trained people, we had trained managers, leaders, speakers, teachers. We could easily step through that door and start that site up, but we couldn't afford it. And we got thinking about, what if we got a special group of people around money? Well, right away in my upbringing, Sally doesn't have any religious upbringing, and that really helps me, but in my upbringing, all these verses come out like that we should never take the rich man, quote unquote, and honor him more than the poor man. And back then they'd put him at the front, and I thought, oh, we can't do that. If we put people together because of money, it's going to look so bad. It's going to look like we're favoriting them. It's going to look like, and Sally goes, well, then why do you do it for the worship and praise team? I said, excuse me? Well, you only train the best piano players. You only train the good singers. You won't even take people who can't sing because they apply. And then you test them on the stage to see if they can sing alto. And when they can't, the worship and praise leaders tell them, please get some training. Come back and try again. But as for now, not really your area of volunteering. And I thought, that's really true. Not only do we meet with them and train them and work with them, we platform them. So I said, what's the difference on working with people who have a gift or a passion for finances to give? That stumped me. We train all the youth leaders. We've got tons of people working with youth. They get into special meetings, and leaders go in there and teach them how to handle youth, how to deal with stuff, what you can and can't do. If you want to volunteer for kids ministry, you got a passion for kids, you're going to have to go to classes, because there's a lot of new rules and laws about how you can touch a kid and what you can't touch a kid, and how do you take them to the bathroom, and how do we protect them, and if you pick them up, what if there's a guy who's got a restraining order trying to pick them up? This is what you do over here. There's a ton of stuff. And so we meet with them, and we train them. And of course, the list goes on of who we gather together in a smaller group to equip them and to train them for specific types of ministry. And the more we thought about it, the more we realized we'd made a big mistake. We had not gone and gathered together a group of people, either gifted or passionate, because even if you don't have a gift, if you're passionate about something, you can be a blessing there. We've not gathered them together because we've been concerned about what people would say. Oh, Leon's meeting with the... And you know what's been interesting is that as we've done Kingdom Build, we've had, from what I can tell, almost none of that. People have just recognized that we live in a day that if we don't rally the troops, when you go to Jerusalem, I've been there once now, And it's interesting when you go look at the city gates and how there might be soldiers who are up there standing guard, machine guns. But all around the city gates is all this commerce going on, inside and outside, all of these booths. And when the gates are closed, business can't move into the city through the gates. And people who are taking wares and going out in the old days couldn't go through the city gates to go to other cities and ships and camel caravans to make money. When the city gates were closed, everything ground to a halt. But when the gates were open, everybody was there, which is why even in Proverbs 31, where it talks about the Proverbs 31 woman, it says her husband sits in the gates, which basically meant he was a leader in commerce and in finances. And so we began to think about this, and we thought, okay, well, the more we went to the Bible, the more we realized that this issue of prosperity and giving, that if we could begin to do this, that we literally could break the back of poverty in church. Because, I mean, the churches I grew up in, they put me in the basement. I kid you not, I'm not even exaggerating. There'd be like a light bulb on a wire coming down. You could smell the dampness. We had flannel graphs. And, you know, and you'd look at the, and you'd think, if Jesus is so important, why do the kids go to a musty, wet, dangling light bulb, little room that the adults don't have to go to? Well, it's because it's money and we got to be careful and you got to sit in seats. And I was told you had to sit in seats because, bless the Lord, don't want them too comfortable, you'll fall asleep. But what about bad backs? And what about sight lines? And, you know, the way we've all, maybe if you weren't raised in church, you're kind of going, what's he talking about? But for everybody here who's raised in church, you're feeling my pain. We just, how can we design a church? How can we do church in a way that people go, I want to come? In our denomination, every Sunday was kind of boring. But what was exciting is once every month or two, you'd have an evangelist come by. And this would, you know, I remember the big buses of Larry and the Golden Airs coming through, or a quartet up from the south that would drive up. And when they hit church, it rocked. Everybody brought their friends. It was from the front to the back. And they would sing. And when they preached, they'd preach a honking great message, because he's preaching the same one everywhere he goes. He gets to work it out better. And it was just, I thought to myself, and Sal, I got talking, that what if every Sunday was like that? What if every Sunday we could do church in a way that was great music, that was great preaching, that we just would demand excellence of ourselves and go, what could we do to make this so special that to bring a friend, we just kind of go, I don't have to pay for this? Good, man, I got to pay how much money for seminars like this and to go to concerts like this and, you know, to be treated like this and have my kids looked after. And that was our passion. That became our goal. Let's just blow everybody's mind with church. Let's do it spirit contemporary. You know, when you look at the Word of God in Proverbs 11:17, it says, the merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself, for his deeds return to bless him. But he who is callous to the wants of others brings on himself retribution. Our giving is not a little thing. Kingdom builders is not about us honoring them. You say, well, Leon, by segregating them, we're honoring them. Well, then I guess we're honoring the ushers because we segregate and train them. Well, then I guess we honor the people who clean because we put them into a group and we train them. Because the Mennonite way, okay, that so many of you have been trained in, is that money, don't talk about it. Don't flaunt it. If you go on holiday, spend lots of it because no one can see you. But when you're home, don't buy anything past a certain kind of North American car. Don't have a house past a certain point because people will talk about you in your town. I mean, I'm just being really honest right now. If you really want to live in that kind of a thing, then go ahead. But literally, finances are the most powerful tool to reaching this world. And your generosity and the whole goal for kingdom builders was to begin to encourage. You know, so 4 to 5 times a year, and sometimes more, we'll gather them together. If we have a special speaker coming in who has got a business side or a teaching side in the area of finance, then they'll come in and we'll put on a kingdom builder event. The purpose of the event is to rally them together, to help them meet each other, Say, well, that's the thing. I mean, people don't need to know that I give. Everybody knows that most people give. And well, they're going to know how much you give. They don't know how much you give. There's a minimum on it, but there's some people that go way past it. Kingdom Builders has literally become the lifeblood of our church. Every time a door has opened and I've announced it to the church, very little comes in extra in the main offering, but in the Kingdom Builder side, men and women will always write the checks and say, go do this. And so every opportunity that you see that we've picked up and said, we went into Pakistan. We needed 50,000 in a flat week or so. You'll find that the majority of the people that help out with the church will come from the Kingdom Builders. And so it's become a very special, very precious group. But you say, well, Leon, we don't want, but so is the worship and praise team. They're very precious. They're very special to us. So is the kids team. They're very precious. They're very special to us. Your kids make you go to church if you don't want to go on Sunday. My kids would cry if they had to stay home or something. No, I want to go to church. Oh, how often do you hear that? So every team is special. But to ignore the area of finance is just wrong. It's just not wisdom. And so that's what Kingdom Builders is about. It's about getting people together, training them in the area of leadership, letting them get to know each other. You know, one of the things we found in training, get people together, you learn more quickly. And rather than just training them apart, if you can train everybody individually, how many meetings would we have to do? So get them all into a room, high five, throw some coffee. Okay, let's talk today about this area of kids, teens, or whatever. But Kingdom Builders is about getting people together and say, there will be a door that is going to open in the next month or two. How do I know? Because for the last how many years, every month or two, God opens a door and says, if you want, you can go into Indonesia. Just be 50,000 to do that. If you want, you can go over here into Iran. And Iran's going to take it to the Muslims in another language other than Urdu. And it's going to sweep through all these four countries. The other day I'm almost done here, but the other day I was listening to a broadcast, and I forget who the expert panel was, but they were handling questions from Muslim people and from other religions about this issue of ISIS and radicalized Islam. And this is the stats they gave. So check it out for yourself before you use it in any professional area. But they said there's 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today. And that of the 1.2 billion Muslims, that they're not all radicalized. They're not all ISIS. They're not all out to do that. So someone asked, well, then how many are of the 1.2 billion? And this lady expert said, 300 million. Okay, I thought you'd say 30,000 or something. It's 300. That's bigger than the entire United States. And the goal of radical Islam is to destroy the West so that a new caliphate will rise up. So we want great leaders. We want proper military things to protect. Right now, Christians are being killed in Syria at an alarming rate. It doesn't make the news anymore. The other day, someone wanted me to pray for France, for Paris. I said, I have been praying for Paris. Well, I think you should publicly pray for Paris. I said, then why haven't we been publicly praying for Syria? Third world people aren't as important as first world people. The Syrian Christians who are being beheaded, killed, women, kids, men, aren't as important as the French in Paris. I'm French. The church, when we sit by and don't do anything, bad things happen. In Russia, you know, all the great Russian people sat by and allowed 30, 40 million of them for a leader to kill them. You take anywhere where there's been genocide, there's always been an entire group of people who were the nice, beautiful, wonderful people who just did nothing. And then bad things happen. I feel like Springs is doing something I know we are. So, Leon, you got to stop bragging. I'm not going to stop, because if I sit around and just don't tell anybody anything about what's going on and what the passion is and what the dream is, then fine. No, I'm going to talk. I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. According to the experts in television that we talk to, from Phoenix to Australia, they tell us there is no other ministry on the planet other than about five that are doing what we are doing, going after language after language after eight languages we blanket the world in right now, and we're giving towards that. That's unheard of. Why? Because we believe a soul is a soul is a soul. And Kingdom Builders is a huge part. Right now we have phenomenal things that are opening up to us and getting on television all across the states, daily television on TBN, on both coasts, and I haven't got time to go through it all. But it's just more and more doors opening. But as a church, we've got to upgrade staffing. We've got to upgrade equipment. We've got to go find new equipment. We've got to put more teams. We need more producers. We need more of a lot of stuff. And so we're saying, do we step through the door or not? So I already told them, yes, we'll do it. So, you know, I just figured, Sal and I both figure, okay, so I'd rather fail at going for something, than say, oh, I don't think we should. Let's just sit here. No, we can do it. And so Kingdom Builders is probably one of the most crucial groups for us to reach our cities, our nation, and to get around the world. We want you to help us with the city gates. We'd love to have you. It's not for everybody. And don't you dare feel guilty. Don't you dare feel ashamed. Everyone's not in the place to do it. Okay? So that's not what this is about. This is simply your pastor letting you know what is available out there to become a part of. And if you guys, just talking to one young man before came, he goes, man, 2 years ago I decided in 2 years I'm going to be ready to join. And then I get this letter. He says, it's been 2 years. And I thought, good. Set it as a goal. That God's going to bless us and help us to equip and to do something powerful.